This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
I'm not sure you're aware of this, but NC State is headed to Clemson to play the Tigers.
I have not heard that.
It does feel like a big game to me. I could be wrong. Feels like a big game. I know we have multiple conversations about this tomorrow. We have been sprinkling it in all week. Part of me wonders if State fans are just like, please get it. Let's play the game already. I said it on Monday. Going to be a long week. Still have two full days. Now the rest of today, 1 o'clock. We ain't done yet. We ain't done today. All day tomorrow. And then you got all day Saturday because it's a primetime game. By the way, really good weekend of ACC football with Wake playing at Florida State at 3:30 in front of the Wolfpack and Tigers at 7:30. Both games nationally televised on ABC. All right, we do this. It is a listener choice. This is simply a poll question today. Yesterday, Aaron Judge in Toronto tied Roger Maris for the American League home run record, single season home run record, with 61. He missed by a game of going past Babe Ruth, maybe it was two games, going past Babe Ruth, because Ruth did his 60 in a 154-game schedule. Worth pointing out. Because Maris, who nobody wanted to break Ruth's record, did it in the final game of the season that year, and there was an asterisk because 162-game season versus 154-game season. With that said, assuming that Judge hits one more home run, which would give him 62 and put him ahead of Maris, he will have the American League single-season home run record of 62. Nobody's hit more than that. We have had 60 home run seasons before. We had McGuire hit 70 and Sosa hit 66 in 1998. Barry Bonds has the record of 73 in 2001. So I asked, and I retweeted the question, assuming Judge does this, who is the home run king for a single season? Is it Barry Bonds, 73, Aaron Judge with would-be 62 or more? 919-860-5326. We do have Twitter responses that I will get to. All right. I know this is going to sound too simplistic, and there is a larger conversation to be had with the impact of performance-enhancing drugs in the sport. And there's also nuance within performance-enhancing drugs, because as a lot of people will point out, amphetamines were a thing for a long time, not just in baseball, but in sports. So there's that factor as well. Amphetamines are different than steroids. There's no strength building that amphetamines allow. The apologists say, well, there's no proof that steroids work. Really? Then why do people take them? Why do bodybuilders take them? If there's no proof they work, there must be at least anecdotal evidence. So let's stop with that. Also, apologists will say, well, the best thing about steroids is that they allow you to maintain heavier workouts because they aid in recovery. That is true. They do. And that's why a lot of times garden variety people like you and me will be given steroids to aid in recovery from injury, illness. It's not quite the same. It's not an anabolic steroid, but some people are prescribed anabolic steroids to recover from injury and illness. And there's human growth hormone, too. Okay. But that's not what we're talking about here. No. And it's used because it does both. It does aid in muscle development. And it does aid in recovery. So you can go harder the next time. Which, by the way, that hard work is not lost on me. That's work put in.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds had to do work. You don't just inject into your bicep or rub a cream on your legs and the muscles form. You still need to do the work, but they allow you to do the work. They allow you to do more work, which we can have a debate over whether or not that's fair or not. 919-860-5326. But with all of that said, and knowing that Bonds was a steroid user and McGuire and Sosa were both steroid users, it's not even a dispute. Alex Rodriguez, twice caught, steroid user. Manny Ramirez, twice caught, steroid user. The record is 73. I mean, if you choose to denigrate the player, I got no problem with that. Because it is a black mark on the sport that we all know that Bonds 73 was... I'm not saying that he hit 73 because he was doing steroids, because I don't know how you prove that.
You can't.
Right? I just don't know how you prove that. He still had to put bat to ball. So, I just don't know how you say 73 because. Because I will say this. Aaron Judge, had he not slowed down and not homered in each of the last seven games, Aaron Judge is at 61 now. And if he hits a handful more, if it's three more between now and the end of the season, and the total number is 64, that ain't far from 73.
No.
So what you're saying is that Judge is this much better than Bonds? Bonds' career high before we think he started using steroids was 47. Right? Back in the 80s, I think it was the early 90s, 1993 I think was the year. He was a three-time MVP before he got to the Giants. Or before he started using steroids. And for most people believe, and I think this is the research has kind of bears this out, that Bonds didn't start using until McGuire and Sosa staged that summer to remember. And Bonds, who was the best player in the game at the time, was pissed because, wait, why are these guys getting all the pub? McGuire's a one-trick pony. All he is a home run hitter. Sosa, he ain't that good either, according to Bonds. I think all three should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But, so Bonds just said, you know what? I'm going to do this.
Sure.
Wasn't against the rules at the time. Well, it was against... That's the misnomer. It was against the rules. If you were found to have used steroids, there was a banishment. You were going to be suspended. And Faye Vincent, the commissioner at the time, sent out a letter to all teams. Steroids are still illegal. But there was no drug testing, so there was no provision to suspend and punish players for using. So it became difficult. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But you
can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. We don't have to like it. but Barry Bonds is the home run record holder. And that is just the reality. And maybe it's good that baseball has to deal with it. Paul from Durham. Paul, what's going on?
Hey, Adam. I'm a longtime listener. Great show.
Thank you.
You're discussing baseball.
Yeah, it's, we got a good weekend ahead, too.
Yeah, so listen, there is some data that Bonds might also have been using growth hormone because the size of his head, the diameter, and the size of his hands also got larger.
So wait, I've never heard about the size of his hands. I don't know that it makes your bones grow.
Yes, it does.
It makes your bones grow at 36? Can steroids make me taller?
I need that too.
Seriously. Like, I don't know that it makes your bones... I don't think it makes your bones grow. Actually, we're losing Paul here.
Now
we can hear you. The head, because there's muscles around the head.
It's the actual bones. The bones actually get bigger.
I've never heard that.
What I think is they need... Correct. So probably Aaron Judge is going to get the American League home run record, but probably those guys in the National League, they need some asterisks after their name, stating that this was the era of performance-enhancing
drugs. Yeah, but again, there's just no quantifiable way. Then you're putting an asterisk on the entire era. You're not putting an asterisk. And by the way, we don't really know when that era started. Putting an asterisk on the entire era, not on individual records. You're just saying that everything from 1986 through 2005, that everything in that 20-year span is tainted. And that means we're tainting a lot. That means we're tainting Jeter. That means we're tainting players like that. And then we go, well, he didn't use. We don't know. And that's my issue with all of this is that it's unquantifiable, and there's no way to get around that. Paul, I appreciate your call, man. Take care.
Okay, nice talking to you. Good work.
Thank you very much. I had not heard that. I might need some confirmation that anabolic steroid use makes your bones bigger. Because, like, I could do, I'd love to be 5'10". I'm thinking about it now. I'm thinking about 5'10". How long a cycle do I have to be on to become 5'10"? And where
That's
do
a
I
good
rub
question.
It? Do I say that again?
That's a good question. Yeah. I need to know these answers.
So do I rub it on my head to get taller? Do I rub it on my feet to get, I need to know. All right, let me go to JP in Wilmington. JP, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going well.
I agree with you, you know, that Bonds and Sosa and them should be in the Hall of Fame. And I kind of think that this situation now, where it's just a wait-and-see situation now, how MLB, how they play their cards with it, you know?
Well, Major League Baseball doesn't control that. You know that.
What with the decision, whether or not they're going to honor, whether or not they're going to say that Judge has the record now?
No. That would be a major league decision, but they're not taking Bonds out of the record book.
If they say that Aaron Judge has the record.
Yeah, they're not.
Now,
if they would have already done that.
Then we're going to see if they do the asterisk that people are saying. If they don't, then I think that it's only a matter of time that those guys do make it in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. McGuire and Sosa no longer on the ballot. I think Bonds is off the ballot too. So,
all right. I kind of swear I saw Barry Bonds was on doing an interview the other day.
He might be on the ballot for one more year, but I think he
with A-Rod, and he was saying that he's still hopeful that he could get in.
Well, no, there's other avenues, veterans committees, and things like that. All right. I appreciate your call, JP.
No problem.
This is a fun conversation. All right. I have to take a very good friend of mine is calling in, my friend Ernie. Ernie, how are you?
Adam.
How are you? This is
Adam, you're talking baseball.
We are talking baseball. We're gonna talk basketball here in a minute, but we're going to talk baseball.
That's fantastic. No, I just, you know, I know growth hormones and all that stuff, you know. That should be for old people, not for baseball players. But I was looking at the bracket for the National League. And if my Cardinals win out, either the Phillies or the Brewers in the wild card game, we play the Mets.
Or the Braves. We are not counting any chickens. Mets still have to win the division. Cardinals would. Yeah.
Oh, come on, Adam. Yeah, Mets are going to win the division. Come on.
From your mouth to Buck Showalter's office. At Truist in Atlanta. The Mets need to win. If they can win two of those games, I think it's a wrap. But they still have to win those games.
Well, you know what? I'm rooting. Well, let me not say anything, because when I root for certain teams, they lose. So
don't say anything.
I hope your wishes come true. I'm not going to say
thank you very
a
much.
Word. Okay. All right, Adam. Hey, I love your talking baseball. You can continue talking until the end of the playoffs. I love it.
It's coming. Thank you very much, Ernie. I'll talk to you soon. So, my friend Brian Geisinger, League Pass Lair, one of our crack NBA analysts. Let me ask this question. Aside from the unreliability of Kyrie Irving, let's just assume Kyrie's in a great mental state and Kyrie is ready to go for 82. Of course, he's going to get injured and miss probably 20, but let's just say he plays 60. Are there 32 players in the NBA better than Kyrie Irving?
No, they're not. And that comes with all of the defensive limitations of Kyrie Irving, too. The shot-making he brings to the offensive side of the floor is truly special. He is, even amongst the crowd of sort of like lead guard, shot creators, initiators in the NBA, in the world, he is among the best, among the most artful. Like, any of the gripes with Kyrie Irving have nothing to do with, you know, his on-court play.
Right.
When he's there, he's usually incredibly, incredibly good. Now, he's not like a top 10 player in the world, but he probably falls somewhere from, I don't know, 18 to 30, somewhere in that range. And to be clear, the Zion note you just mentioned, like, we can just keep it in the Duke brotherhood here.
Sure.
If he's right, he's way better than the 40th whatever player. Like, he's a top probably 12 to 15 player. At least he was two seasons ago in the 2020-2021 season.
I am fascinated to see what he's going to look like. Let me ask you about a couple. I want to ask you about the Hornets, but let me just ask you about a couple of other things real quick. Steve Nash, the head coach of the Nets still. We all thought that whole thing was going to blow up, but he is still the head coach of the Nets. Well, it's fine. I'm not knocking it. I'm not saying he's a bad coach, because I don't really know. He hasn't really had the full deck of cards that they bought for various reasons. He says he doesn't care if Ben Simmons ever shoots. He's lying, right?
I actually kind of think there's at least some kernel of truth to that. It's like they have enough shooting on this roster with Joe Harris back healthy, Kyrie Irving, obviously Kevin Durant, one of the greatest shooters in the history of basketball, Patty Mills. So there is some shooting on this roster. In fact, quite a good bit of it. And if you have Simmons as your de facto center or the one interior player that's also going to give you some ball handling on offense, then it is okay if he's not shooting from, you know, outside the floater zone or outside the paint. It will become tough, though, if there are going to be some lineups for Brooklyn that include both Ben Simmons and Nick Claxton. Like, they're probably not going to be able to close games with those guys if Simmons continues to be just like a net negative in terms of his shooting output. But at this point, Gold, considering the fact that Simmons hasn't played an NBA game, and I mean, we're getting close to 18 months now.
Yeah.
I think at this point, you're just hoping that he can get on and get, you know, can he be 80, 90% of, he was all NBA in 2020.
Right.
He's one of the best perimeter defenders in the world. So I think that's really what you're hoping, is the rim pressure in the perimeter defense. And if he can give you some screen and roll playmaking, you live with that. Any shooting on top of it is gravy. It will create issues for them in some of their lineups, though, the lack of shooting with Simmons and likely Nick Claxton.
And the way I look at it, and we have had many conversations about my view of Ben Simmons and whether I'm right or not. And
yeah.
I believe that if you are going to be part of a big three with Kyrie and Kevin Durant, and maybe we don't need three anymore. Maybe it's just two and everybody else is complimentary. That would be a fair response to that. But if you're going to be playing heavy minutes for a team that is that has designs on winning an NBA championship, and I'm not sure that there's a more talented team than the Brooklyn Nets when it's all said and done. But if you're going to be on that court for 35 to 40 minutes a night, especially in the playoffs, if you are an unwilling shooter, then you're playing 4-on-5 offensively.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge concern. I do think the sort of like the brilliance and the shot making of Durant and Irving helps offset that a little bit. And who knows, maybe, like, fingers crossed, TJ Warren is healthy this year for them, and you've got another sort of like bucket getter on the perimeter that can score at a bunch of different levels.
Harris,
Harris, and there's actually some, you know, maybe De'Ron Sharpe takes a step forward at the, in the center rotation. He probably will. You've got to remember we got Alondis Williams on a two-way contract with Brooklyn too. So there's some fun Tobacco Road connections between Brooklyn, and it's not just the ACC tournament that takes place at Barclays Center. They've been scouting the ACC as well, clearly. But I do think the main thing is it's the playmaking, the connecting, the Simmons in transition, where he has, say what you will about him, he's always as limited as he is in the half court. And those he usually gets sort of like fades as the playoffs go along when he is on postseason teams. But the transition game has always been there. The defense has always been there. And I think if Brooklyn can just, if they can land in the ground of being a competent playoff team that gets pretty good production out of Ben Simmons, it's maybe still falling short of where you would imagine a big three of Kyrie, Durant, and Simmons could have landed you in, you know, say 2019 or 2018 or something like that. But given what the last couple of years have been like for Brooklyn, I think you would actually be pretty happy with that, especially after this type of offseason. The one thing I do want to say about Simmons, and I think this gets lost in some of the Simmons at center discourse, is that, yes, it's good. It makes sense offensively for him to play center, and certainly he can guard some centers and some power forwards in the NBA, can pretty much guard every position type. But what Simmons does best is not protect the rim defensively.
Right.
His best stuff is guarding 28 feet from the rim. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people are going to keep falling back on Simmons at five. That's Brooklyn's best lineup. Mm-hmm. And I agree, but it is not like a defensively, Simmons may be in some situations that are sort of where he's not optimized necessarily. So I do think that's one other thing to consider as this Brooklyn team goes forward.
All right, Celtics have had a tumultuous last few weeks. Ime Udoka, one of the best coaches in the league, certainly in the second half of last year, as Boston went bananas and ended up in the NBA Finals. So he's gone for the year, may never return. What is that impact?
This episode is brought to you by Samsung. Unfold the all-new Galaxy Z Fold 4 and expand your world. With Flex Mode, it stands on its own, so you're hands-free to get more done during calls. And with multi-window view, you can use up to 3 apps at the same time. Plus, the edge-to-edge screen allows you to fully immerse yourself in your favorite games and shows. Visit Samsung.com to learn more about Galaxy Z Fold 4.
Oh, man, it's tough to say. Like, I think it's one of those things where I think this team has enough on paper, if healthy, and if, which at this point isn't even an if, because they're decidedly not healthy, but where they could just say, like, okay, we've got the infrastructure in place. We've got, you know, we're returning our top 8 from a season ago on the team that had the best net rating in the league and came within, you know, a couple of buckets, basically, of beating Steph Curry in the NBA Finals. Like, we're good. Let's go. And something like this could be weathered, at least in terms of the locker room. Like, you know, it's one of those things. I'm sure you've talked about this on your show. It's tough to sort of like address the situation with Udoka because there is so much unknown still.
Right.
And so I do try to tread a little bit lightly around those types of things. But if we're just talking about like the on-court play, it's like I think they, for the most part, they can handle it. What I worry about Gold is the injury to Robert Williams, who is a defensive, all defensive team, defensive player of the year type candidate, a total game changer with what he does defensively, how the Celtics deploy him defensively. He's going to miss the next couple of months. Can Al Horford at age 30, whatever, give you another type of season like that? Like, they really leaned on him pretty heavily last year. And now you've got Danilo Gallinari, who's going to miss the entire season with an ACL injury. So get ready to see Sam Hauser get minutes, formerly of Virginia. Get ready to see Luke Kornet get minutes. Those are the things I worry about, at least, again, in terms of like what's happening on the court, then in terms of, as opposed to, you know, how's this team going to respond to Joe Mazzulla, you know? So again, I think you certainly miss someone like Udoka, because I do think coaching does matter to an extent. It's tough to measure how much it does. So therefore, it's sort of tough to answer a question like this. How many wins is it going to cost them? I'm not entirely sure. What I do worry about more, though, is this hanging over the top of a team that's now dealing with injuries to some of its key and best players.
Joe Mazzulla, by the way, is, I think, a jazz guitarist. I've got a couple of his albums somewhere in the attic. Final thing for Brian Geisinger. You can follow him on Twitter at @BGeis_Bird, League Pass Layer, our NBA analyst. So the Hornets went back to the future. Steve Clifford is the head coach. I thought Steve Clifford was a good coach when he was here, but I also didn't mind the guy they just had. I don't know what they're doing. Where is this organization right now? Are they kind of like floating out there, sort of without a rudder, or are they kind of pointed in the right direction?
Yeah, Gold. We don't have enough time to get into every single aspect of it. We'll save maybe some of those conversations fully for off air. But right now, I do think, look, Steve Clifford is a good head coach. James Borrego, the former coach, was
him.
A good head coach.
Yeah.
And let's not forget that last September, literally 12 months ago, James Borrego received a contract extension. And 9 months later, 6 months later, he was gone after another sort of disappointing result in the play-in game. It's tough to say that this team really has a direction other than theoretically build it up around LaMelo Ball. So there is still some tentpole here, right? Like, you have a guy that just turned 21. He's probably a top 30, 40 player in the NBA. He's getting better, and he's made his first all-star roster at age 20. So it's like, you're not completely in the dark, right? You're not wandering the wilderness of the NBA like they were in the years before LaMelo landed in Charlotte. But you're looking around at the roster right now, and look, especially after the crimes that Miles Bridges committed this offseason, there really isn't another active young superstar that's on this roster currently. There's some good young players. Like, I like PJ Washington a lot. I think he has the chance to have a big season. Mark Williams is going to be a good player. But like, they traded away the 13th pick a couple months ago at the draft, Jalen Duren, to Detroit so they could dump salary, theoretically max out Miles Bridges, and right. Then that went, you know, that got blown up a couple of nights later. So does this team have a direction? I think yes, to an extent, because LaMelo Ball is one of the best young basketball players in the world, and I think Mitch Kupchak is like a solid GM, and there are some good young players on this roster. We'll see what James Bouknight does this year. We'll see about Kai Jones. We'll see about JT Thor. Cody Martin just got an extension, so the cupboard's not completely bare, but this is going to be one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference this season, and it just sort of depends on, do they bottom out and get a top whatever pick and maybe have a shot at getting Scoot Henderson or Victor Wembanyama, or do they end up, as always, between picks 8 and 12,
right.
You know, which is just like, seems like that's where they're headed for once again this year. It's amazing. Like, that, aside from the LaMelo pick, they always end up in that range.
Yep.
So is there a direction? Theoretically, yes. But I do think at some point they're going to have to be a little bit more firm about, are they building up for now around LaMelo or long-term around LaMelo, and then go from there, because they do need to add more good young players around this guy if they're actually going to do this thing right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have as much faith as you do, maybe, in some of the people down there that they're going to do this thing right. Brian Geisinger at @BGeis_Bird on Twitter, League Pass Lair. My friend, good to talk to you again. We will do it again soon.
Sounds good. You guys be good.
You got it. All right, let's do halftime. Then we got to place bets.
I know.
I'm excited. I won one yesterday.
Yes, go Adam. All right, well, I'll kick things off. As we know, I've been playing some Coolio music today because, unfortunately, he did pass away yesterday. At 59, they said he was at a friend's house in their bathroom. Still don't know what happened, but could have been a heart attack. So that's the latest thing. Sorry to hear that, RIP Coolio, but we are playing your music today. That's it, the quick one for that one. Okay, today, though, is, onto a lighter note, National Coffee Day. And we know.
Oh, right.
We both like coffee. And there are actually some places where you can get some free coffee. Or
really?
At least when you buy something. Yes. So in our area, Dunkin', of course, Krispy Kreme. I was surprised at these two, Burger King and Wendy's. I didn't even realize that they sold coffee. I don't know if I want to try that.
Thanks.
So, I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know,
I'm
if you want to
sure
go get a burger and then
got
coffee.
Great coffee at Burger King
yeah.
and Wendy's, but
I think I'll stick with Frosty's.
I'm not going there.
No, no.
Well, I'm not going there anyway, but I'm not going. I might get a cup of coffee. Is there a Burger King around here? No, that's
no.
never been a phrase.
No. I need some coffee. Let's go to Burger King.
But I say the same thing. I know people rave about McDonald's coffee, and I'm not saying it's. I'm not
true.
Criticizing it. It's never hit me that way.
No.
So if I need a cup of coffee, it's not where I'm going.
Yeah.
Although they have good drive-thrus.
Yes, exactly. Well, a lot of people will pick Dunkin' over Starbucks, which, by the way, Starbucks is not doing anything for today.
No.
Who is dropping the ball there?
They probably don't call it coffee. They call it Starbucks.
Right.
They just use fancy terms. I like both.
Yes.
Personally, I like both Starbucks and Dunkin'. They are very different.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly different. And, I mean, I would be able to tell you if coffee was from Dunkin' Donuts in a second.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That
absolutely.
Fast.
I like Dunkin' Donuts. I kind of grew up in the Northeast, so
okay, yeah, makes
I grew
sense.
Up with Dunkin' Donuts. Not that I was drinking a lot of coffee when I was 13, but
true. Well, either way. You never know. See, and I like my coffee looking like chocolate milk. So for me, if it's got stuff in it, like I'm good either way. It's fine. So I'll take
wow.
it. I know.
Really?
True story. I can't do like just straight black coffee. One of these days,
depending
maybe.
On the coffee, I will do. I'll drink it black or. I need. Sometimes I will use a little bit of cream, but
okay.
Simple. I no longer put sugar in coffee. Now, iced coffee is a different story.
Yes.
If we're putting ice in it, then it needs to have some level of sweetness.
Yes.
Doesn't have to be a lot, but it has to have some. I don't understand iced coffee that isn't.
No.
Sweet.
No.
I just have a Diet Coke.
Right. Yeah. Why yeah. even go there? Exactly. Right. Speaking of coffee, on the same lines, you apparently live longer if you're a coffee drinker.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, plus it's got antioxidants and all that stuff. But yes, it says if you drink about 2 to 3 cups a day, which I kind of thought might be a lot.
No,
three cups, but no,
right.
it's good. So anybody.
Well, they're probably talking about 6 or 8 ounce cups.
Right.
But,
kind of like my wine glass.
Yeah,
it's a lot bigger.
We've had yeah. that conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe doesn't have all the sugar either. So on to the next coffee thing. This
really
is
National Coffee Day.
It is. This is insane, though. It has nothing to do with coffee. So if you are thinking of getting engaged and your girlfriend is really big into pumpkin spice lattes, wait for it. They have made a ring.
Don't.
That replicates pumpkin spice lattes. I am not making this up. It actually looks like it. They have whipped cream shaped center diamonds surrounded by white diamonds, and orange sapphires are encased along the side of it. I'm not joking. I'm looking at this thing right now. I would never want this, but I'm sure there's something for everyone, and this will run you about $11,000, though, for this ring.
Really?
A pumpkin spiced latte ring. Not yeah, something I would
I mean,
want.
Even more reason to not get it.
I know. Could you imagine, though, if someone bought it for their girlfriend, and the girlfriend really didn't want that ring, and you're like, here, honey, I love you, let's get married, and then you have this pumpkin spice latte
Gosh.
Ring?
No.
Let's not.
No.
Yeah. Keep your $11,000.
No.
And last thing. So you might be feeling this, especially in the middle of the week. The average American spends about 10 years of their life in autopilot mode. Now,
okay.
I had to look into this, like what exactly they mean. It's basically just when you get into ruts, routines, rituals, and you just kind of go through the motions. Me, I drive forever because I also live in Canada, so
okay.
You know, I guess that could be it. But yeah, it basically says that we spend about 1,400 hours each year, 27 hours a week, almost 4 hours a day, just in autopilot mode. So with that, it's National Coffee Day. Go get your coffee, get your caffeine, and, like, let's do a new hobby today.
How often do you miss the exit you are intending to get off, let's just say, the Beltline?
Uh-huh.
Or if you're on 40, how often do you miss an exit?
Not often.
Okay.
Which I don't have to take a lot of exits. I just have to drive straight forever.
Right. Okay. Me too. Yeah. I shouldn't say I don't miss a lot of exits. I do. miss too many. I don't know if it's a lot, but I miss too many. But I will often go past where I intend to turn.
Okay.
Because, as you say, autopilot.
Yep.
Sometimes my brain is thinking about other things.
Yes.
And I'm driving.
Uh-huh.
And I'm paying attention to what I'm doing, but I'm not paying attention to the point where I'm not also thinking about something else. and so my son will go, "Hey, Dad, weren't you supposed to turn there?"
Uh-huh.
And I will go, "Yes.
I was.
Thank you very much for noticing.
Yes. Two steps ahead. Now you're two steps behind.
So now I'll turn right here. And then we'll circle around.
Now, if I have to get gas, yes, 100%, I will forget. And I'm like, oh, man, I got to go back now.
Because
I hate having to stop and get gas on the way home.
Gosh.
One of those things.
I don't like to. Who likes?
Who likes
to get gas anytime?
Who likes it? Maybe if you're stopping to get coffee, then you have something to look forward to. But no, I didn't.
In the Northeast, the 7-Eleven coffee wasn't terrible.
Oh, okay.
Well, wasn't awful.
We have 7-Elevens down here now, you know.
I know there's one at the beach. There's one in Carolina Beach.
They just opened a couple of them here around Capitol Boulevard, I think. Lewisburg
really?
Road. Yep.
A 7? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. No, there is a 7-Eleven on Hillsborough Street, I think.
Yep. They're popping up.
Oh, look at that.
There you go. You can get your 7-Eleven coffee and
really
Slurpee.
It's Slurpees. Gosh. It's been 50 years since I've had a Slurpee.
This is the Adam Gold Show.